channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another week in the studio with Superhuman Radio. We got a great show planned for you today. During the first hour, we're going to be talking to Dr. Kayla T. Daniel about her book, The Whole Soy Story. I love this. Great message. Later in the show, Dr. Michael Smith from Life Extension Foundation is going to come on and talk about mineral imbalances. And also, there is a supplement out there that's being used widespread. We're going to investigate whether or not it's safe or not. It's called lithium orotate. Okay? Before we get started with the show, a couple announcements that I want to make. First of all, while I have not updated my training blog, I have been training consistently as promised to my audience. I just need to sit down and transcribe everything from my iPhone, where I store my training diary, over to the blog, number one. Number two, last week on Casual Friday, we talked about the USDA moving to use 2,4-D, an herbicide that is one of the two ingredients in Agent Orange, widespread on a new genetically modified corn that Monsanto wants to come out with as an answer to their Ready Roundup corn, which has developed broadleaf weeds that are not killed by Ready Roundup any longer. So, you know, anytime you fool with selection pressure, organisms get stronger and more resistant, and you have to get stronger with your approach to destroying them. So now they're going to introduce 2,4-D. This happened during the holiday. We talked about it on my blog. There's a place for you to go. We have 60 days to let the USDA know that we don't want this. Interestingly enough, on my blog, someone from an organization called Nora G posted that 2,4-D is completely safe and been tested and is in widespread use around the world, and it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. I invited them to come on the show and debate me in the science behind 2,4-D. Of course, as predicted, they have said no. They don't want to debate me, but they'll be glad to keep posting on my website, of which I invited them to. However, we need to stay on top of this. You need to go to my blog and click the link. Your action is required if you don't want to develop cancer, and let the USDA know that you do not want 2,4-D used on your corn products or for Monsanto to produce a genetically modified version of corn that is resistant to 2,4-D. So it's widespread use because 2,4-D has been linked to cancer. While there's studies on both sides showing that is and isn't a strong carcinogen, I am one who likes to err on the side of caution, so 60 years from now, we don't look back and go, well, I guess we were wrong, because that is what the government does to us time and time again, okay? So please go to my blog, and if you are with Nora G out there listening to the show, come on and debate the science. If you truly believe in your position, come on and debate the science behind 2,4-D. Okay, that's it. Now, let's get on with the show. My first guest is Dr. Kayla T. Daniel. She is the author of The Whole Soy Story. How you doing, Dr. Daniel?
Great. It's an honor to be on your show.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, I've been railing against soy for 7 years. I keep saying that the phytoestrogens in soy are not something that nature put there for us to reap the benefits of, but instead are designed to be anti-nutrients that prevent us from eating it. Yet the soy industry continues to grow in leaps and bounds. Whenever I have this discussion with people, the first thing they say is, well, the Asians eat tons of soy and they don't seem to have a problem with it. Can you differentiate the difference between the soy that the Asians eat and the soy that we eat here in the United States?
Yes, there's a lot to be said about that. First of all, the Asians actually don't eat that much soy. And that's a myth that the soy industry promotes, that Asians eat lots of soy. First of all, Asia is a huge continent with many different people, many different dietary customs, and the amount of soy varies quite widely from place to place in terms of how much the average person eats. Like there's more in Japan and much less in certain parts of China, for example. But the thing is, wherever you go in Asia, soy is eaten as a condiment in the diet and not as a staple food. In other words, very small amounts of it. Now, admittedly, they're probably eating some of that every day, but very, very small quantities. The other thing to keep in mind is that the soy Asians have traditionally eaten, and I say traditionally because, guess what, the U.S. soy industry is moving into Asia, setting up great big plants to manufacture this stuff. And you'd think if Asians were already eating it, there wouldn't be all that room for them to move in.
Interesting that you point that out. I know, because the largest amount of soy that we produce here in the United States is exported.
So they're exporting it even to Asia. And they're marketing soy as the Asians' natural heritage, and of course they're going to provide it. But the thing to keep in mind is traditionally in Asia, the kinds of soy people ate, that's very different from what people are eating in large quantities here in the United States. Traditionally in Asia, people ate things like miso soup, which is an old-fashioned long-term fermented product, which is actually really healthy for us if it's done properly. They were eating small amounts of tofu. And when I say small amounts, I mean a few cubes in, say, a cup of miso soup or fish broth. I'm not talking about a one-pound slab on your plate.
Yeah, as an alternative to beef, for instance. You know,
exactly.
a lot of people will take a half a pound of soy and add things to it and sear it in a frying pan because they don't want to eat beef, so they eat soy because they feel it has the texture of beef. And I mean, that's way too much soy to be eating.
Way too much soy. And in Indonesia, tempeh, which is a great food, and people tend to not overeat that. In a lot of areas of Japan, natto, and that's a really healthy food. But the texture's a little strange. The smell is strong. In fact, in Japan, the restaurants have separate rooms for the people who like to eat natto because it smells so bad.
Really?
So that's not something they're going to promote heavily in the United States because the soy industry is promoting really bland foods that can sort of be, as ADM has said about one of its products, inconspicuously bland or something like that.
You know,
the inconspicuous being part of it. And then the idea is you flavor it with all sorts of other things to make it taste acceptable.
Right.
People think that soy milk is traditional in Asia, but the first historical reference to soy milk is 1877. This is very late in the evolutionary scheme of things.
Right. In fact, soybeans did not find their way into the United States until the very early 1800s, and it was not a food product. It was actually used as a ballast in clipper ships so that they would have enough weight in the body of the ship to keep it down in the water until they got where they had to go to pick up their cargo. Then they just dumped the soy on the beaches like sand and left it there to rot and then put their cargoes on. Soy was not a food when it was first introduced. It was a mechanical alternative. I mean, I think people need to understand this. And this is what happens constantly. What happens constantly is the government is constantly trying to find alternatives to good nourishment. And soy is one of those things that was one of the government's go-to alternatives. In fact, correct me if I'm wrong, but in the early 1900s, cattle producers in the United States started to plant soy as a foraging food for cows, but then they stopped. And the reason they stopped is because it started to interfere with the birthing and the maternity cycles of cows.
Soy very, very definitely affects the reproductive systems of every mammal known. And one of the things we hear all the time is that all the studies on rats and dogs and pigs and mice and other animals are not relevant because we're humans. And vegans talk about that all the time.
Oh, yeah, right.
And what I have to say to that is it does vary to some extent from species to species, but when you see damage, reproductive damage, in every single species known, don't you think that's a fair warning?
I believe so. In fact, that is part of the evolutionary selection pressure changes in soy designed to allow it to survive. The phytoestrogens in soy were not put there by nature so that humans and animals would benefit from them. They were put there by nature to protect the soy so that humans and animals wouldn't eat it, because very easy to understand, if you disrupt the sex hormones of a species and it mates less and has less offspring, then that species can be wiped off the earth and the soy is protected. This is why there are phytoestrogens in soy. Nature didn't put them there hoping that man would stumble upon it and benefit from it. Okay? All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick up the topic with Dr. Kayla T. Daniel. The book is The Whole Soy Story. You do have to read this book. Even though you think you know about soy, you don't know as much as you think you do that is in this book. You can go to Amazon.com to pick up the book. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5388. And mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at uscellwellness.com. US Cell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at uscellwellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to ageforce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long, because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your miracle noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour, Dr. Kayla T. Daniel, about her book, The Whole Soy Story. Interesting information about soy production in the United States. What I'm about to say, I want you to recall, I want my audience to recall a discussion we had on this past Friday show about Tom Vilsack, who, when he spoke to the National Restaurant Association recently, said to them that the objective has to be to get Americans to like the foods that the government wants them to eat. And the NRA needs to help make that smooth transition. Now, remember, government wants us to eat foods that it has financially subsidized because that is helpful to their investment. In 2010, the United States was the top producer of soy, you know what, that's a Freudian slip, of soy in the world with 90.6 million metric tons and exported 43.2 of those metric tons to other countries. And soy is the second top subsidized crop next to corn, and soy represents 30% of the crop grown in the United States, where corn is 34%. So remember, the reason soy is popular is not because of its health benefits, but because the government wants us to eat it and wants everyone in the world to eat it. Now, with that being said, let's get back to the topics that you covered so eloquently in the book. Talk to me about the fact that the soy industry has been so successful in promoting this notion that soy is healthy for us.
Yes, that's a wonderful question, because the marketing of soy is fascinating. The problem the soy industry initially had, and this was a couple decades ago, was that they wanted to sell more soy protein because they had a lot of it left over. Because when you're making vegetable oil, you're splitting that soybean and you're taking out the oil and you're making vegetable oil, and you've got a lot of soy protein left over. So the question is, what are you going to do with it? Now, if you're a good businessman, you don't want to pay to have it sent to the landfill and have it dumped. You want to turn it into a second profit center.
You want to sell it to somebody.
So it actually makes an excellent fertilizer, and it's used traditionally in Asia in that way. But the fertilizer companies are all taken care of with the chemicals. So they still had a lot of soy protein, and they tried to, of course, put it into all sorts of animal feeds. And it is in animal feeds. And the USDA spent several decades with some of the very best scientists in the world trying to figure out how they can get the animals to eat more of this stuff without dying prematurely and having serious, serious health problems. So some soy in their diets is fine from the point of view of growing animals because, say, if they have thyroid problems, they get fatter sooner, et cetera.
Right.
But there's a limit to how much soy you can feed animals, and it will be different, say, for poultry than for other animals. But anyway, the soy industry had a lot of soy protein left over, so they decided they wanted to sell it to people. The problem was, though, that soy had a terrible image for people. It was seen as a poverty food, something you would eat if you could not afford meat, or something that was a communist food that you would eat in, say, Russia or in Cuba. Or it was seen as a hippie food, and we think of hippies at the communes, you know, boiling up big vats of soybeans and so forth. So soy had a terrible image problem. So they got some really smart marketers together, and what they came up with was the idea of promoting soy as a health food, with the reasoning being that that way rich people would buy soy and pay well for it in order to be healthy, and that would give it a rich and elite image and a healthy image. And if rich people wanted to buy it and pay well for it, then so would middle class and poor people as well. And this has been the approach. And as a marketing strategy, it's absolutely brilliant.
No, it absolutely is. Talk about the health problems associated with soy consumption in humans.
Yes, well, there's a long list of them, starting with malnutrition and digestive distress, thyroid problems. We see a lot of those, reproductive problems, including infertility, PMS, and loss of libido. That's a big one. We have immune system breakdown. We have attention deficit disorders. Of course, soy allergies are growing within the top 8 allergies now, and many experts believe soy will be one of the top 4 allergies really soon. And soy can even promote cancer growth. It can contribute to and accelerate the growth of some cancers, particularly breast cancer. And soy can even cause heart disease.
How could it cause heart disease? I'm just curious. That was one I was not aware of.
The way soy can cause heart disease is it can raise homocysteine levels.
Ah, which is an independent marker for atherosclerosis all by itself.
Exactly. And in terms of the FDA-approved soy prevents heart disease health claim, so many people say, well, the FDA would never have approved a food like that if it had not really looked at the evidence. Well, hello, this is the same FDA that's given us Vioxx and aspartame and other things that destroy our health.
Yeah. No, but my audience, we don't. We know the FDA is corrupt at worst and incompetent at best, and neither one of those are acceptable for an organization that's supposed to be providing oversight and protecting American people. Their interests lie with their clients, and their clients are the big pharmaceutical and big food manufacturers, because that is who makes their paychecks happen. So you would not cut off the organizations that make your paychecks happen and also give you entree to new careers when you leave the FDA. So the FDA needs to be dismantled, it needs to be gutted, whatever you want to call it. It needs to be done away with entirely, because it is by far, to my knowledge, the single most corrupt and inept organization under the U.S. government's oversight process. So anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes, in 1999, the FDA approved a health claim that soy prevents heart disease. And that's why you see on the label of so many soy foods that if you eat so much of this product, that will help prevent heart disease, etc. Well, of course, this is all a lot of nonsense. But when that health claim went through and the labels were permitted, the soy industry saw an enormous increase in their profits and their sales of soy protein. It went from under $1 billion a year until over $4 billion. In just a couple years there. Now, the soy industry these days, fortunately, is not growing by leaps and bounds at this point. It's still growing, but the soy industry is whining about people like you and me who are telling the truth about soy and making some people wonder about whether they should actually be buying these foods that most people actually don't think taste very well anyway.
I know. Well, here's an interesting thing about soy. The soy producers, the industry itself, and the organizations that speak on behalf of the industry, they like so many of these corrupt industries, they want to have it both ways. They like to say that the daidzin and the genistein in soy, which are the isoflavones associated with their phytoestrogenic effects, and the ligands, which have a great affinity to the estrogen receptor that are also found in soy. They like to say, when we talk about the estrogenic effects of soy, they like to say, well, look, they have a very, very low affinity, and in normal quantities, this is not an issue. They love to say that. Then, on the other hand, they love to tell pre and postmenopausal women that because of soy's estrogenic effect, it can actually help mitigate a lot of the symptoms of menopause. And they point at some very credible studies done by some very, very good organizations that show that soy consumption against placebo was as effective as HRT in mitigating the vasomotor side effects, the hot flushes, all of the estrogen-related benefits soy seems to produce. So, on one hand, you have the soy industry saying, oh, it really doesn't act like estrogen, to the people who are worried about estrogen. And then on the other hand, you have the soy industry saying, it's really good for you because it acts like estrogen, for people who want the estrogenic effects. And I say to everybody out there, those of you who are decrying BPA, you know, who use an occasional piece of plastic, should be screaming bloody murder at the soy industry, because the amount of soy consumption and the endocrine disrupting effects of soy isoflavones and ligands are by far leaps and bounds more of a problem than the occasional occurrence of BPA in your diet. So if you don't want BPA, then why the heck are you allowing an industry who sells a product because it has an estrogenic effect to you and your children? That baffles me, Dr. Daniel. What do you think about that?
I think you're very right to point out there are so many environmental estrogens, and what people are not recognizing is soy is one of the environmental estrogens that's causing so many problems. Health-conscious people are very aware of the dangers of plastics and pesticides and so forth, but the dangers of phytoestrogens are just not recognized. And the soy industry somehow promotes the idea that these estrogens in soy somehow have this intelligence to, you know, be useful in your body and do only good things and not do bad things. But unfortunately, that's not the case. And these phytoestrogens can get into estrogen receptor sites. And occasionally that can be useful, but just as often it can be a huge problem because the body did not intend those for phytoestrogens. They intended them for real estrogens and real hormones. So there's potentially, you know, risks and potentially benefits, and that might seem hard to imagine that I would say there could be some benefits, but here's what I'm going to say about that. The problem is you can't just eat a lot of soy products willy-nilly and hope the benefits are going to kick in.
Right.
We need to have some way of testing, laboratory testing. We need to know dosing. We need to know monitoring. And we need to treat these things like a drug.
I agree with you 1,000%.
And conceivably there are some people who could benefit, and conceivably that could be safer than certain other types of pharmaceuticals. But we have to respect these isoflavones for their potential power, power for good and power for bad. And mostly what we're seeing is the power for bad because some people are eating massive amounts of soy.
Yes.
And, you know, with all the vegan propaganda and the fashionability and trendiness of vegan diets and movies like Forks Over Knives, etc., a lot of people are thinking that plant-based is the way to go, and because they're also trying to go low-carb, they tend to start going high-protein, which if you're plant-based means soy, soy, soy.
Right, right.
And we got people who aren't just having a cup of miso soup every day. They're having soy for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snack.
Yeah, and they're also taking soy protein supplements, which, by the way, the pancreas apparently does not produce the enzyme. This was discovered back in the 50s by bodybuilders who first introduced soy protein as a supplement. Rio Blair found out that most of the population does not produce the enzyme responsible for digesting soy in general. And subsequently, the protein causes people great gastro distress. I want to talk about, when we come back, I want to talk about this notion about soy being in baby formula. And I want to compare that to what is done in Asia. My guest this hour is Dr. Kayla T. Daniel. The book is The Whole Soy Story. She also has a new website called The Naughty Nutritionist. Go check it out. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. Can see eye drops. The name says it all.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the blue.
Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both the Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint forum to ensure your success.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at PrimordialPerformance.com. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Get stronger, feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, Dr. Michael Smith, a fan favorite, going to talk about mineral imbalances, also about a supplement that seems to be growing in popularity. Is it safe? Lithium orotate. You know, soy formula is still available in the United States. People still use it. Companies like Enfamil, Similac, Target has their own brand called Up and Up Soy. Babies Only makes organic soy formulas. Parents Choice makes a soy formula. Soy formula is very, very popular in the United States. There's no doubt about it. And I say using a soy formula is tantamount to rubbing your HRT estradiol cream right on your baby every single day. What would you say to that statement, Dr. Daniel? Am I being overzealous, or do you think that's accurate?
Well, unfortunately, it's way too accurate because soy formula is one of the most dangerous things you can do for your baby. And the French Food Agency, the Israeli Health Ministry, the Swiss Federal Health Agency, the German Institute of Risk Assessment, they have all come out strongly saying you should never feed your baby soy infant formula except as a last resort. And yet soy formula is being heavily promoted as the alternative to dairy formula, of course. And if the baby so much as burps, so many people just switch right off to soy formula.
Yeah.
And the risks, there's actually many risks, but the most serious one is the way the plant estrogens in the soy infant formula will interfere with the baby's hormonal development. And a lot of people would think, well, this is just a baby. What does that have to do with anything? But the fact is that, say, a little boy during the first month of his life is being programmed for puberty. And he actually has very high testosterone levels at that tender age, as much as a grown man.
Really?
And that little baby is being programmed to go through puberty later on and go from boy to man. And if there's plant estrogens bollocksing up the works there, that boy may be estrogenized, feminized, and there may be serious problems later on. And they're going to vary from boy to boy, depending on a lot of things, including how early the boy was put on soy formula, how much of it the boy ate, and, you know, so forth. But some of the risks are everything from decreased quality and quality and quantity of sperm to things like gynecomastia, which is man breasts, To a penis that does not grow to a normal full size, a whole lot of problems are potentially down the road for a boy who's put on soy formula.
Why aren't physicians crying out about this? You would think that physicians would be really upset about soy formula. Maybe the others, you know, we're all 3x7. Many of us do things that increase risk of certain diseases. You know, if you want to consume soy in large quantities and you understand the risks, I say go ahead and do it. But babies are dependent on the adults around them. Why aren't physicians decrying this soy formula?
Well, interestingly enough, U.S. pediatricians are reporting more and more boys having problems going through puberty. And we've got the opposite problem with girls. They're going through puberty earlier
right.
and earlier, which is also one of the possibilities there as a cause is soy formula. But with the boys, it's arrested puberty or delayed puberty. And pediatricians are noticing that. But one of the problems is the cause and effect are too far separated, because nobody notices there's a problem until the boy is, say, you know, 15 years
right.
old and not developing, and the soy formula was drunk way back when the boy was in the first year of life.
Right.
So it's hard to see cause and effect. So that's one of the problems. And as you mentioned earlier today, there are other environmental estrogens besides soy, and some of these other things are taking more of the blame. And I'm the first one to tell you, you know, watch out for plastics and pesticides and eat organic and clean up your water, because our tap water includes all sorts of residue from birth control pills and hormone replacement therapy and
right.
other estrogenizing factors.
Right.
So soy is not the only devil that's in the environment.
But it is the devil that the government recommends that we eat. That's the thing that you know, mm-hmm. the government does not recommend that we drink tap water. The government does not recommend that we expose ourselves to xenoestrogens. That's all by choice. But the government puts its stamp of approval by way of the FDA and by way of their own My Plate and food pyramid that soy should be part of the diet. And I think this is really, I don't know, the government stands arm's length from prosecution and punishment because of sovereign immunity. But this is very reckless on our government's part to suggest that people eat soy.
Well, it's reckless on so many levels, and of course unethical too, because people are becoming seriously ill, and our children, many of our children are growing up very poorly. And even the children of health-conscious people, because the health-conscious people may be avoiding the junk foods and the McDonald's and so forth, but then they're going and feeding their kids things like soy milk.
Yes.
So these children are not growing up healthy either. But there's just so many factors, and soy is one of the ones I think we have the most control over. But there are a whole lot of people who say, my kids cannot tolerate dairy, so of course we have to eat soy. And unfortunately, there's a lot of problems with dairy products that we find in the stores today.
Yeah. Well, my audience, we drink raw, unpasteurized milk from grass-fed, hormone-free, antibiotic-free cows whenever possible. And I haven't bought a container of pasteurized dairy in I don't know how many years. You know, you're just asking for trouble in that area as well. Let me ask you a couple questions before we go into this next break. There are other soy products that have become very, very popular. Soybean oil is the single most used and produced edible oil in the country. Is soybean oil an okay thing? Since we're not talking about I would imagine it's devoid of the estrogenic compounds and obviously of the protein and so on.
The way I would answer that, and this might seem surprising that I'm actually recommending a few different soy products and eat them myself, but you're going to get some natural soy oil in miso, you're going to get some in natto, you're going to get some in tofu, and tofu's not a great product, but a little once in a while is fine. Those are whole soybean products, and there's going to be some soy oil in that whole product, and that's going to be just fine. Where we get into trouble is where the soybean oil has been extracted from the soybean, And, of course, that's a very nasty process that you can't do in your own kitchen. It takes a billion-dollar chemical plant, et cetera, and they're going to use hexane solvents and high pressure, high temperature, alkaline and acid baths and all sorts of nasty things that are not only going to affect the quality of the oil, often causing it to become rancid, but leaving residues that are going to put you at risk for cancer and all sorts of things. Now, admittedly, minute amounts of residues, but these things do add up.
Yes.
And the thing is, with soybean oil, once it's extracted from the soybean, it doesn't tend to have a very good flavor, so they do processes called deodorization. And these processes actually add trans fats. This is for a vegetable oil that's liquid. People do not know that they contain some small amounts of trans fats. And so does canola oil, which is heavily promoted as a health food.
Right.
Now, everybody knows these days who's conscious about health that we shouldn't be eating margarine and shortening because of the partial hydrogenation and trans fat issues. But hardly anyone realizes that there are trans fats in canola oil and soy oil and other vegetable oils because they deodorize these oils to cover up the rancidity, which tastes bad and smells bad and people will not accept.
Okay, we have to take a commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about lecithin. This is something that Sally Fallon came on my show many years ago to talk about. This is also another popular soy byproduct that you'll find everywhere in the world. We're talking with Dr. Kayla T. Daniel. She's the author of the book, The Whole Soy Story. You can get it at Amazon.com. You can also visit her website, her very, very pink website, I should say, The Naughty Nutritionist at at NaughtyNutritionist.com. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to try them today.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
I have never endorsed a training guide before, The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. Exactly.
In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Build muscle. Burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio.
We're talking this hour with Dr. Kayla T. Daniel, author of The Whole Soy Story. Later in the show, Dr. Michael Smith from Life Extension Foundation. Dr. Daniel, what about soy lecithin? I've heard that that suffers from the same issue, and that is the agents, the chemicals required to liberate the lecithin from the soy are left behind in trace amounts. The soy has to be deodorized and added to so that it doesn't smell so bad. People consume lots of lecithin for some of its supposed phospholipid benefits, as well as a fat emulsifier. What are your thoughts on soy lecithin?
Lecithin is a very interesting case. It became known as a health food for much the reason soy protein did, because what happened in Germany, and this was many decades ago, there was a waste disposal problem. There was a lot of lecithin left over from a soy oil manufacture, and people did not want it thrown in the landfills because it was too gunky and so forth. So it was a big cost problem for the soy industry. So they decided to get a lot of scientists to figure out some useful, profitable ways to use soy lecithin so they didn't have the waste disposal problem. And did a bunch of studies, came that the choline in it would be helpful to us and so forth.
Right.
And at some point after that, Adele Davis and all those early health writers started promoting soy lecithin as something that would cure just about anything that ails us. And ever since, it's had this mystique about it as something that is really good for us. Now, of course, it originated, again, as a waste product. Now, in terms of its value to us and its danger to us, I want to say right off that lecithin, to my mind, is not nearly as serious a problem as soy protein and soy oil.
Is that just because of the amount that we consume of the two?
Exactly, because typically people will only be consuming soy lecithin, say, as a little bit used as an emulsifier in some processed foods. Now, I want to be totally clear. If it's got a label, if it's processed and packaged, it's not something that I prefer to eat. But every one of us, I think, has an occasional processed food, perhaps from a health food store. Maybe it's something like a good quality chocolate bar, and it's going to have a little bit of lecithin in it. Now, the amount of the lecithin in that is not going to be a problem for most of us. It can be a problem for people with severe soy allergies. But for most of us, it's not a big deal. It's very little in there, and the reason it's in there is it's as an emulsifier.
What about people who take soy granules and sprinkle them on their wheat germ in the morning? I have a friend who was doing this for years and years and years. She would sprinkle a good heaping tablespoon of soy lecithin on her wheat germ every single morning.
What about in
that kind of quantity?
Yeah, that's the kind of thing people started doing because of Adele Davis and others of that era. And I would not feel that that's a good choice to make. That is starting to get into larger quantities of lecithin. And here's what I would do instead. Let's have a lot of good egg yolks. Let's have eggs from hens that get to run around. And
well, also fertilized chicken chicken eggs have a higher degree of lecithin than eggs that are laid without the presence of a rooster.
So that's a place where you want to get your choline and your lecithin is from egg yolks. And of course, what have we all been told to avoid eggs, particularly to throw out the egg yolks and eat the whites? And of course, if you're going to throw something out, throw out the whites. It's the yolks that have the nutrition.
You know, I just had an article published, it made it into Google News as well yesterday, talking about this, the things that the current, political landscape is sidestepping about healthcare, and that is the constant influx of new unhealthy people. And there was one sentence in it that I remembered writing, and I said, you know, we all have a relative that lived into their eighth and ninth decade of life, a great great grandparent, a great great aunt or uncle, who did not know what their cholesterol levels were, didn't know what their blood pressure was, but yet they lived to be 80 or 90, and actually they were robust at 80 or 90. They were not in a wheelchair, feebly looking at a wall. They were engaged in life. And they ate all the things that we are told today that we shouldn't eat. A light bulb should go off in people's heads just at that. I mean, forget about science and me and any question everybody, but look at your own health history for a moment and ask yourself, why did these people eat eggs and bacon every single morning? Granted, the eggs were a different quality, and we talk about that all the time, and the bacon was a different quality, and we talk about that all the time. But why were they eating all the things that we can't eat today or are told not to eat today, and they're healthier than we are today? So that's an important question. Two closing questions before we end the interview here. The first one comes from a listener who goes by the name of Citadel, and he asked, ask your guests about fermented soy. I see fermented soy in a lot of health stores and in vitamin products. Are we seeing an increase in fermented soy products in response to the outcry about soy?
Yes, but I want to caution people about genuine fermented products such as natto and miso, which are wonderfully healthy foods for us. And these fast fermented things that are showing up in a health food store, vitamins and so forth, and they're being put there as a marketing thing. Mm-hmm. They're not genuinely healthy. It's like these companies are trying to have it both ways. They're trying to appeal to the people who think soy is a health food and also appeal to the people who think that only the fermented soy is healthy. But a fast fermentation process is not what we want. In fact, fast fermentation is what makes commercial soy sauce these days. And we want the old-fashioned slow fermenting, and that's where the health benefits might be coming from. And even if they were putting that in certain brands, the quantities would be so minuscule that it's not going to affect anyone anyway. So when a company does something like that in vitamins, I look at that label and I say that company is not dealing with me ethically, or
yes,
you know, they're just trying to market themselves. And I don't trust that company, because if they're going to lie to me about the soy and try to impress people by having it both ways with the soy, I don't trust them for their other ingredients either.
I agree. I mean, like companies that are coming out now that they have added omega-3s to certain products like orange juice. And when you read the label, it has 5 milligrams of DHA, you know, and 6 milligrams of EPA. And you know what? Those are negligible amounts that have no effect, and companies that post that stuff on their boxes are just trying to take advantage of the uninformed. They're trying to take advantage of the uninformed. And you have to ask yourself about the ethics of a company like that. I agree 100%. Last question. Genetically modified soy is probably in its highest amount in this country now. I believe that well over 90% of all the soy grown in the United States is now GMO soy. This adds a totally new danger, in my humble opinion, to the consumption of soy. What are your feelings on GMO soy? Do you think that we're being overzealous by wanting to avoid it, or do you think that it really poses an even greater danger than soy, frank soy, in its natural state?
I don't think we can be too vigilant in avoiding any GMO product and doing everything we can to avoid it, to protest it, to make it clear to manufacturers and our government that we won't tolerate it. GMO is so, so dangerous. Now, in terms of soy specifically, there's plenty of people who, for whatever reason, are not going to accept what I'm saying about organic soy and regular commercial soy. And to those people, if you're going to eat soy, despite what I've been telling you, at least make sure you're going for the organic soy, because GMO soy is so much worse.
But you know what I've been told? You can call organic soy, and it can still be genetically modified. Because according to the USDA, organic only implies that it has not been grown in land where pesticides and herbicides have been used for a certain period of time, and no direct usage of pesticides and herbicides have been used on the growing of it, but it can still be GMO because the USDA and the FDA do not recognize GMO as any adulteration to the actual food.
That could be very, very true, and we've got a situation where the term organic has been so corrupted,
yeah. And
we have to be so vigilant in so many ways. And one thing I would urge people to do is join the Cornucopia Institute, visit their website. They are putting out some incredible reports. They're exposing a whole lot of corruption in the organic industry and so forth. And they're very much worthy of our support.
Okay, we'll check that out. In fact, I was at Starbucks for my occasional cup of coffee the other day, and I asked the attendant behind the counter, I said, because I've read recently that a large amount of coffee beans are now genetically modified. And I said, do you know if Starbucks uses genetically modified coffee beans? And she immediately shot back and said, no, everything we use is organic. And I said, well, wait a minute. And I just said to her what I just recited to you. I said, do you know if it's a GMO? And she says, you know, I don't. I says, could you call corporate and find out for me? Because I suspect that there is a lot of people who are going, well, I don't have to worry about GMO because I'm buying organic. And in fact, it's still genetically modified. It's just not used in a pesticide-laden fields, and pesticides are not used on it while it's growing, but it's still GMO. And this is another attempt of Big Agra to snooker us. So we have to start asking the question. And, you know, President Obama promised us during his campaign speeches, and I just played this clip on Friday, that he was going to make sure that genetically modified foods were labeled because Americans deserve to know what they eat. We just played that clip on Friday. And you know what? More genetically modified crops have been approved under his administration than the previous 20 years. And he has just handed over oversight of the FDA to Monsanto, by putting Monsanto cronies in charge of dictating information to the FDA as it relates to agriculture and genetically modified foods. So we're being force-fed GMO. People need to wake up. And if you can't get a solid answer, then you need to walk away from the counter. And when a million people do that, it travels upstream to corporate America. And they go, you know what? People aren't buying this because they don't know what it is. Look what's happening to Twinkies. Twinkies is an example of people voting with their dollar. Twinkies is going to go out of business because people finally thought to themselves, why would I eat this stuff? It's disgusting. It's junk. It's going to kill me. So we vote with our dollars, and the way you vote with your dollar is let it be known what you're looking for, and if you're not getting it, walk away from the counter. And when that happens enough, like the 100th monkey syndrome, when that happens enough, corporate America goes, we're going to be throwing a lot of food away if we don't change. And then they change because the bottom line is they want to sell you something. They'll sell you what you want, or they'll sell you what you don't want. It's up to you. Listen, go out and get the book, The Whole Soy Story, and please visit Dr. Daniel's new website. It is The Naughty Nutritionist. It's a fun website, naughtynutritionist.com. We're gonna have Dr. Daniel back on because her new mission is to get people to understand the direct influence of nutrition on libido. And I've said on this show that libido is a benchmark for health. When animals are sick, they're not horny. And when a species is being threatened, they're not reproducing. And there's a reason for that. Libido is not just a parlor trick. It's actually a benchmark for the quality of your health. Dr. Daniel, I want to thank you for being on Superhuman Radio today.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Dr. Michael Smith from Life Extension Foundation on. We're going to be addressing common mineral imbalances. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better, bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies. I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USCellWellness.com. USCell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USCellWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My next guest is a fan favorite. In fact, he should have his own show, in my opinion. Does some of the best webinars in the world. If you have not attended any of the Life Extension Foundation webinars, you're really missing out on opportunity, especially if you are a professional in the health and fitness industry. Nothing will prepare you to totally dazzle your clients than attending one of Dr. Michael Smith's webinars. When you bring some of the latest and greatest information, emerging science about supplements, about health remedies, and so on, which you can only learn from Life Extension Foundation webinars. In fact, I know of two hosts that I'm not going to mention who they are. I'm not going to give it away, who every time Dr. Smith does a webinar, they seem to do a topic of one of his webinars and act like they were the ones who came up with the science. Did you know that, Dr. Smith?
No, who are you talking about?
I can't mention the name because I'm not interested. I'm not looking to out somebody.
I'm just, you know what, listen, Carl, I don't. That's okay. As long as people are learning, the key thing is, you know, that's one of my goals here at Life Extension. I become kind of the community liaison for the company And really what I just want to teach people, and if other people are picking that up and teaching that good science so that we can promote longevity and health, then you know what? So be it. That's fine with me.
Okay. All right. So what we're going to talk about today is really quite rudimentary. We're going to talk about mineral imbalances, but we're not going to talk about any exotic minerals. We're going to talk about the four basic minerals that are required for virtually all of the enzymatic and electrolyte cofactor reactions in the body, and that is magnesium, potassium, calcium, and sodium.
Right.
Because these are the less sexy minerals that we are not getting enough of and lead to health disorders later on in life. So let's start out. Of the four, where do you want to start?
Well, I think we got to start with magnesium.
Okay.
I really think that is so deficient in our diets and in our supplement regimens. I'd like to start there. And you know what? I want to address something, I think, to your listeners real quick, Carl, if it's
sure.
Okay, that, you know, I teach, as a matter of fact, in one of the webinars I've done, I teach this idea of a supplement pyramid. You know, there's the food pyramid.
Right.
I teach the supplement pyramid, and if everybody just pictures for a moment what a pyramid looks like, when you look at the shape of it, the key thing to the pyramid is that bottom layer, that thick bottom foundation, right?
Right.
And you can think of your regimen in that same way, your supplement regimen in that same way, that you really need to have a core group of supplements that provide the basics, because, you know, I know on your website, Carl, and I know on your shows, which I think are fantastic, you talk a lot about, you know, protein supplements, a lot of different hormonal supplements for all of your bodybuilders, your extreme athletes that listen to you. But think of it this way. If you don't have a foundation, some of those other types of supplements that we like to do aren't going to work as well.
Right.
Or say it in a positive light. When you have a good foundation, when you have magnesium on board, for instance, a lot of the protein supplements, a lot of the hormonal supplements, guess what? They work better. They work better with that foundation, and I think this is one of the most important shows we've done together, Carl, because this is where it begins. This is where life processes begin. And let's look at magnesium. I mean, in this country, we are so deficient in this critical mineral, and there's a couple reasons I think why. One, we don't eat very well. Now, of course, I don't know if that's really your average listener.
Right.
But the average person out there, I mean, we sometimes get, we have to remember, Carl, the average person out there is not your listener.
Right.
The average person out there is not the life extension
they should,
member.
They should be. They should be listening to this show because they can avoid disease. But you're right,
they're not. The average person out there, unfortunately, is still eating the poor diets. They're not exercising. They're very deficient in magnesium. But here's the kicker with magnesium. Even if you're eating a great diet, even if you're doing raw foods, organic foods, and you're doing all the right produce, and you're getting, you know, you're eating that rainbow color approach, right?
Right.
You're getting all those main things. Guess what? You're still not getting enough magnesium, because the two key nutrients for our soils, so that the produce can manufacture that pull that magnesium out of the soil, the two key nutrients that produce needs is the nitrates and the carbonates.
That's all they replenish in agriculture.
When the soils are depleted of all those basic nutrients, the plants can't absorb the magnesium and some of these other minerals. So even if you're eating a great diet in this country, you're probably not getting enough magnesium. And it goes back to the poor soils. But again, most people just don't do it because they're still eating McDonald's, God forbid, but they are. And that's the truth of it. So let's talk a little bit about magnesium. Name me a body part, and you pretty much have named a body part that magnesium plays a role in.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't matter.
Well, let's start with this for a second. Let's start with enzymatic cascades, which really is the next frontier for anti-aging, in my humble opinion.
Okay.
What about enzymes? Does magnesium affect these enzymatic cascades like the P450 and so on?
Yeah, that's a great question. More and more research, is looking into magnesium's role, for instance, in all of the cell energy cycle. We've never understood how important a role magnesium plays to things like the mitochondrial uncoupling protein, which is involved in fat burning.
I was just going to say, right.
Which is involved in ATP production.
Right.
I mean, magnesium, now we understand, when you look at when your cell brings in sugar and oxygen to make ATP ultimately,
right,
there are several cycles that that sugar and oxygen will go through, right? The Krebs cycle, you have glycolysis, Krebs cycle, the electron transport chain, and there's many other small little side cycles involved in the production of ATP. Guess what? You take magnesium out of that equation, and all those cycles begin to break down. We talk about CoQ10, we talk about D-ribose. Those are important because they feed into those cycles, but what's actually behind the cycle? What's actually behind the running and the initiation of the cycles? Forget the CoQ10 and the D-ribose for a second. They just act kind of as cofactors. What you have at the base of these energy cycles is magnesium.
Really?
Magnesium plays a huge role in activating all kinds of proteins from the initiation of bringing the food source into the cycle to running the cycle and actually, you know, maintaining, for instance, the sodium-potassium pumps that allow you to make ATP. That's all magnesium-based.
I'll tell you, and I'm going to kind of run through some of the things that I've learned about magnesium. People who are suffering, especially elderly people, who are suffering from congestive heart failure, often by supplementing with therapeutic doses of magnesium can actually ameliorate the condition. Now, this is not for everybody. This is not for people who have valve problems, but for people who are deficient in magnesium.
Right.
Magnesium is the opposite of calcium. Calcium makes the heart squeeze, and magnesium makes the heart open up. It doesn't relax. A lot of people think that in between pulses, your heart is relaxing. No, it is squeezing in the opposite direction. It's like a bellows, just the way you have to push a bellows closed to blow air out, and you have to pull a bellows apart to suck air in. That's how the heart works. Well, magnesium is responsible for allowing the heart to open up as wide as it can and suck as much blood in as it can. And when you have these people that are being admitted to the emergency room and their heart is fluttering, they've got tachycardia, it's 220 beats a minute, but they're not moving any blood, it's because the heart is unable to completely open up and fill. Quite often, a bolus dose of magnesium makes that go away. Magnesium is also a very powerful ACE inhibitor. This country is awry with blood pressure issues related to insulin resistance, which, by the way, magnesium seems to reverse the problems associated with insulin resistance. Look at the Pima Indian, who are genetically insulin resistant. When they're given therapeutic doses of magnesium, their insulin resistance goes away.
Yeah, you know, you bring up an interesting point with the magnesium and the blood pressure and the ACE effects that it has. We've known for a long time that magnesium is able to regulate fluid balance in the body. We now know that's pretty much through the renin system, which is like the pharmaceutical. So here's what you know, if you have blood pressure issues, you can either have a prescription for something like called lisinopril, or you can try some magnesium first and see what the results are. And we've had some incredible results helping people manage AFib, blood pressure issues, restless leg syndrome, stuff like that. Anything where you're dealing with a membrane potential, magnesium plays a role in that. And I got to tell you, it's a simple cure-all for a lot of these very common age-related conditions that people are dealing with.
You know, you want to hear something funny? I've talked openly to my audience about the past 2 years. I have not been dedicated to my nutritional protocols and my training the way I normally am, and I started to redevelop tinnitus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I take 600 milligrams of magnesium before bed at night, I do not wake up with ringing ears, but if I don't, I do wake up with ringing ears, which tells me that the magnesium is having an effect on two things: the insulinogenic effect of sleep, plus the vasomotor effects that are affected by ACE.
Right.
If I don't take that 600 milligrams of magnesium before bed, I can bet you $1 billion I will wake up in the morning and my ears will be at least hissing, if not full blown ringing. But if I take it, I wake up and there's nothing there. That is a powerful, powerful effect. That is a drug-like effect.
Yeah, well, we know that magnesium works with other, there's a bunch of different minerals that the body is based upon. We're going to talk about some other ones, but magnesium kind of is almost like the parent to a lot of these other minerals. We know, for instance, it works very closely with potassium to potentiate action potentials, which helps nerves and muscles work better, and that's maybe the link to the tinnitus. We know it has effects on the endothelium, which are heavily innervated. So magnesium really has, as I said at the beginning, you know, name a body part and magnesium is going to affect it because of how it affects energy cycles, action potentials on nerve and muscle membranes. It's critically important. I want to talk a little bit about the different forms.
Well, that's good because here's what I want to cover right now. I want to talk about the different forms, and I want to talk about therapeutic doses under the assumption that nobody is getting enough magnesium in their diet today.
Good.
And then do you take that therapeutic dose forever, or when do you wean off of it? So what are the preferential forms? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, well, first of all, and I think what we're learning, and here's, you know, you mentioned enzyme therapy is going to be a big thing in aging medicine in the future, and I agree with you, Carl, but I also believe that we're going to learn more about different forms of minerals and vitamins and how those different forms can affect different parts of the body. And magnesium is a perfect example of that. Number one, we've talked about this before. If you want to improve central nerves, if you want to improve those nerve brain cell connections, the synaptic density in your brain, that's going to require magnesium threonate.
Right.
We talked about that before. Right. Threonate crosses the blood-brain barrier better than any other form. Now, there was some misconception. We wrote our article on that, and some people read it as if we were saying magnesium threonate is the only form that crosses the blood-brain barrier. That is not what we were saying, but it is by far, based on the studies, it is the one form that crosses at a much higher rate than the other form. So that's your brain form, magnesium threonate. For as far as bones, this is what I think is really exciting. If you look back in some of our older bone formulas, you'll notice that we really didn't know what was the best form of magnesium for bones, so we kind of just threw every form in there. And that's what most people did, because we really weren't sure. But some great research coming out of the U.S. Department of Energy, the Ames Laboratory, they actually have done some incredible studies looking at the matrix of bone, and we now know that the bone matrix is basically made up of calcium phosphate and collagen connected in these little nanoparticles, really small particles, and that matrix is most flexible. Now remember, flexibility, or I should say strength of bone, Carl, is determined by flexibility.
Right. Tensile strength, right.
Yes, how it can take that tensile strength. And it turns out that the thicker this calcium phosphate collagen matrix is, the thicker it is, the less flexible it is. And what we've discovered through this Ames report is that it's the form of magnesium. Magnesium citrate is the form that actually allows that matrix to remain thin and flexible, whereas the magnesium oxide, which was the big bone one a couple years ago, we have discovered makes that matrix too thick and less strong. So we do believe now the best form for the bones is the magnesium citrate, because the magnesium citrate makes that matrix thinner and more flexible.
Talk about magnesium glycinate for a second. It's becoming popular because it does not have the osmotic effect that leads to loose bowel movement. Is it effective for what we want to do with magnesium, and how is it unique?
It is unique in the fact that it'll help people sleep, so it's good for that. But it's not. But you're and it doesn't have as much of an effect on the gut. But the issue with it is it does not cross the blood-brain barrier, and it does not allow that bone matrix to be thin. So it's not the top choice for brain or bone. But I use it a lot for sleep. People will get a little bit calmer on it, and they won't have that same runny stool when they get up in the morning.
Right.
So that, I think, is the best benefit, but I don't think that's going to be the main brain and bone form.
How much magnesium should a person supplement with each day, assuming that they've been supplementing long enough that they are no longer getting this osmotic diarrhea?
You know, it depends. For the average person, standard would be probably between 250 and 500. That's probably your average dose, and that's someone who's adjusted to it. You may have to start slower, and you can move up. But I like that upper part of that range, around 500 milligrams a day. I think that's an adequate amount. But here's the great thing about magnesium. Your body knows how to metabolize it very well, unlike a lot of those prescription drugs. So if you're taking, say, like I do, 500 milligrams a day.
Right.
So let's say I'm taking 500 milligrams a day, and God forbid, let's say I start developing some sort of AFib or weird arrhythmia. I don't have any problem bumping that up to 1,000, 1,500 milligrams for 2 or 3 days, grab a hold of that of that arrhythmia, get me back into normal sinus, and then go down to my daily 500.
Right.
So 500 is a good springboard, basically, to go into higher doses when you need it. Let's say you have your tinnitus, right?
Right.
So you do your 500, which I think is the standard. Let's say you start waking up every morning with a little bit of tinnitus. You can use that 500 as that springboard to reach to higher doses,
right,
and you do it slowly, and there's really not much of a GI issue once you've acclimated to the higher doses.
Okay, so it sounds to me like 250 to 500 is recommended, but for therapeutic purposes, you can experiment with,
yes,
all the way up to 1,500 milligrams a day for short periods of time.
Absolutely.
And obviously this goes with not having any renal failure issues.
Well, we're assuming, you know, a normal, for the most part, a normal kidney system and all.
Yes.
That.
Okay.
Correct. Yes.
Let's,
yes,
do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, let's talk about potassium, and we'll move on to calcium and sodium. We're talking, yep, with Dr. Michael Smith about the basics of mineral imbalances. You can learn more by going to the Superhuman Radio website and clicking the banner ad for Life Extension Foundation and getting your free 6-month subscription to LEF Magazine. We'll be right back.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at NeedToBuildMuscle.com.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit AgeForce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AgeForce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at uscellwellness.com. US Cell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at uscellwellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just want to remind you that if you've already purchased the blueprint, get some before pictures, because in February we're launching an amazing blueprint body makeover challenge with thousands of dollars worth of prizes. I mean, like, we've got well over $3,000 committed to. We're probably going to break another $1,000 here real fast. So if you've already bought the blueprint, please take your before pictures now. If you have not bought the blueprint, buy it and take before pictures. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the blueprint banner ad. My guest is Dr. Michael Smith from Life Extension Foundation. We're going to talk about potassium now.
Okay.
How does potassium work, first of all?
You're talking about, let me, this is really interesting. If you want to know how important something is for the human body, either take it away completely or take it to low levels or take it to high levels. And if you have problems on either end of that, you know it's an important mineral.
Right.
So here's potassium. If you have too much potassium, your heart stops working.
Right.
If you have not enough potassium, your heart stops working. I mean, that's a perfect example. That right there tells you how important this mineral is to any cell that has electrical impulse, basically, or what is known as a membrane potential, where there's a charge difference between the inside and the outside of the cell, which is basically your nerves and your heart.
Okay.
So that tells you how important potassium is overall to the body. But there's another part function that this important mineral has that people forget about, and it is in regulating fluid balances too. So it has a role in muscle, it has a role in nerve, and it has a role overall in fluid balance, specifically within what's called the extracellular spaces. A lot of times when somebody has swelling of ankles and stuff, we might automatically say, oh, it might be just the heart's not working all that great, or maybe it's just age or whatever. Give the person a little bit of potassium, and you can watch how quickly that type of fluid issue can clear up. And it shows you how quick this ion, this charged ion, can manipulate things in the right direction.
Now, potassium is one of those things that we no longer get enough of from vegetation that grows in traditional agricultural environments, just like magnesium.
Pretty much gone.
Yeah.
It falls under the same category as magnesium, basically. In order for plants to really pull in these important minerals, magnesium and potassium being the two big ones, they need the carbonates and the nitrates and all the soils. And when you're depleted of those in the soil, the plants have lost their transport mechanisms.
Right.
So you're basically growing plants that are pretty much, I mean, they, calcium is still in there, but the magnesium, the potassiums, the larger ions, potassium is actually this huge, large ion. They need a lot of help being pulled into the plant, and our soils just can't provide that type of transport anymore. I mean, our soils cannot provide that type of transport.
Now, potassium is one of those things that apparently the medical orthodoxy scares the heck out of people about supplementing with. In fact, over-the-counter potassium supplements generally have about 99 milligrams of actual potassium, elemental potassium in them, and it's recommended you take only one of those a day. However,
which is ridiculous.
Yeah, because you need about 2,000 or 4,000 milligrams? You need about 2 or 4 grams of potassium a day.
I say 4,000.
Yeah,
4,000 milligrams a day is considered the optimal dose for potassium, and there is. You're right, and I'm not sure where all this came from, but there's this scare. There's this. People get really – now, wait a second. Let's back up, Carl. Maybe we can understand why they're so scared, because when you go through medical school, one of the key things you're taught is not to change potassium levels in people, because hypokalemia, hyperkalemia, those are the medical terms for that, have devastating effects on the heart. So when you're an intern – and I remember this, working in the hospitals, when you were doing, you know, IV bags in people, man, you followed potassium levels because that was the one thing that scared the attendees. Man, if you screw with that, Dr. Smith, you're gonna cause a heart attack in this person.
But don't the kidneys have the same ability to flush potassium out of the system, assuming normal functioning?
In a normal functioning center, but you know, granted, a lot of people sitting in hospital beds, they lose a little bit of kidney function. Even healthy people can. So it was just always a scare, and I think that fear just kind of sets in as a medical student. It sets in as an intern, and I think you just kind of carry that throughout your career. That potassium level should be, you know, when you're supplementing, it should be kept very low.
So how should you supplement with potassium, or should you just try to get it from natural sources?
Well, listen, you're not going to get it from – I just don't think you're going to get it. What do you think? I don't think you're going to get it from natural sources.
I don't think
sources.
So either. I think that when I look at the food database, the foods that they sampled were decades ago, and the food I'm eating today doesn't have that amount of minerals in it.
I tell you, I think there's two decent sources of potassium still today, and one of them is pistachios.
Really?
Pistachios, actually, because they're such a hardy plant. The pistachio, I think, is still a decent source, and almonds.
And I eat a lot of both of those, believe it or
not. I think that those are two dietary sources that might be okay. But the other common ones, the other various nuts, I just don't think are going to do it. The dried fruits, specifically apricots.
Yeah.
I just don't think avocados just don't have. I mean, avocados,
banana,
unfortunately, are just becoming little sugar sacks nowadays. Yeah. And soybeans, bran, all those things are just going to be real low. But I think because of the hardiness of where the almonds and pistachios come from, the plant itself, I think those can actually still provide a decent amount of magnesium.
So how can I safely supplement with potassium, and what kind of doses can I safely supplement with?
Listen, I think the best thing to do is to do a powdered form of elemental potassium, and it's hard to find. But the best way, I think, to absorb it is in a shake or a drink. And now, here's the thing, though. It's such a big molecule that there always is an issue of absorption with potassium. So if you're going to do the powdered form, most of the doses are going to look quite high, but that's because you're going to lose a lot of that just simply running through your gut.
Okay.
So usually a powdered, like one scoop, might have maybe double the amount, maybe 8,000 to even 10,000 milligrams, but you're only going to get maybe about half of that out of that. And I do think that that's the best way to take it.
What about the potassium gluconate tablets that have 595 milligrams of potassium gluconate but 99 milligrams of elemental potassium? Can I just take five of those three or four times a day?
It's a preference thing, isn't it? I mean, I think those are okay. I like those products. But the difference for me is, I already take a lot of pills. So if I can substitute a pill for a powder, I'm going to go ahead and do it. There's a lot of good potassium powders out on the market now. So.
Okay. All right. We have to take a commercial break, unfortunately, to try to get back on track here. When we come back, we're going to try to hit calcium and sodium as quickly as possible so that we have time to talk about this suspicious new supplement that seems to be growing in popularity, and that is lithium in its orotate form. It's a salt form of lithium. Go to Life Extension Foundation's website, lef.org, and learn everything you need to stave off age-related disease and stay young. And please attend one of Dr. Michael Smith's webinars. We'll find out when his webinars are coming up here next as well. Stay tuned. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long, because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product, bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse. CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-Oxoprogesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free
testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbells.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Michael Smith from Life Extension Foundation today about the basic minerals. We've already talked about magnesium and potassium. Now we're going to try to cover calcium and sodium, which I think we all know about calcium to some degree, although there is some discussion about calcium being tainted with heavy metals, so you have to watch where you get it from. And also that calcium may not be needed in the large doses that doctors recommend any longer, because people get a lot of calcium from their diet. It's still one of the elements that seems to be available. Do you agree with that, Dr. Smith?
Yeah. And so we've always said, for instance, postmenopausal women should be around 1,200 milligrams of calcium. That's dietary plus supplements. And a lot of people forget that. So you really want to calculate how much calcium you're grabbing. For men, it's probably about half of that is needed. But yeah, we do. That's the one mineral we tend to still get from our diets pretty well.
And calcium is one of those minerals also that should not be taken willy-nilly, because it can actually aggravate some issues. It's excitatory on the nervous system. It seems to cause or bring out certain cardiac conditions, correct?
Well, it can. Listen, calcium needs help. It's a pretty big molecule. It likes to deposit itself everywhere, and so it needs help to go to the appropriate places and, you know, to ultimately get it out of the blood and into the tissues where it belongs. You know, just don't forget, you have to make sure you're doing your vitamin D with it, your vitamin K2. You have to make sure that those vitamins are optimal, and your body then will manage calcium the way it's supposed to.
Which is get it into the cells and get it out of the blood.
Right. I think there's a lot of people who are trying to show that calcium can be dangerous, the whole thing of calcinosis. I think it's as simple as not having the helpers, the D and the K2. I really do. I think it's that simple. We now know, too, a lot of people thought that it was magnesium that played a major, major role in putting
calcium. Yeah, people talk about there's certain ratios to adhere
to.
Well,
they do. And I, you know, listen, I think magnesium does. I already said it, and I'll stand by it, that magnesium is kind of the parent mineral, really. A lot of times we used to think calcium was the big one that we had to focus on. It's really magnesium, in my opinion. And magnesium kind of manages a lot of these other minerals, and I think calcium included. However, you can take magnesium completely out of the equation and give people calcium with enough D, with enough K2, and you do not see calcium build up in arteries, for instance. So I still think that although magnesium plays a role, it's really those other two vitamins. And we actually had, you know, I don't know if your listeners know this, Carl, but we have a whole staff of health advisors that people can call and ask any question you want. You don't have to
when you're a member.
Yeah, and you can call and ask anything you want about labs or whatever. And we actually took some of the health advisors and we pulled them off of the phones for about a week, and we asked them to do some different research for us. And one of the things we wanted them to research, there were two of them that were assigned to this. We wanted them to find clear evidence in the literature looking at pharmacokinetics, that's looking at how things absorb and stuff. We wanted to know, is there really something to this calcium-magnesium ratio? Some people say it's 1 to 2, some people say 1 to 3. We just wanted to find something. What's out there that really points that there's this important ratio? After a full week of research, they could not find one single thing that really promoted a proper calcium-magnesium ratio. And what they did find in this research, though, this is why I said what I said. What they found, what has the most impact on calcium is not the magnesium so much, it's the vitamin K and the vitamin D.
Yeah, and see, I'm not taking vitamin K, I'm just taking vitamin D. And my last tooth cleaning, the girl who cleaned my teeth said, do you take a lot of vitamin D? And I said, yes. She says, well, you have calcium buildup on the back of your teeth, not tartar. I said, really?
Really?
Yes. And she said that this is common in people who supplement with a lot of vitamin D. I'm wondering if by not taking the K, I'm not getting the benefits of the D and the calcium.
I think so. You know, listen, we know that calcium, D, and K2 specifically, right? That, you know, there's K1, K2. That K2 specifically, they work synergistically to put calcium where it belongs. And listen, if we sit here and act like we understand exactly how all these vitamins and minerals are working together perfectly, I mean, we're just lying to everybody. But we know that they're important. They know that all three of those work together to get calcium where it needs to be. So if you're not taking K and you're taking D, maybe you need to add that. Maybe that'll help the situation. I mean, let's pretend like we understand all these interactions perfectly,
right.
We don't. But we know this: when those health advisors did that research, what they found was that it was the deficiencies in D and K2 that caused the calcinosis. It really wasn't how much magnesium they were taking at all.
And bottom line is, I don't think people really need to supplement with calcium unless they do on a starvation diet, because everything you eat has some form of calcium in it, and when you add it all up, you find out you're probably getting a gram a day from your diet.
Yeah, no, I think people just need to add up what they're doing.
Okay, what about sodium? Sodium is something we're told to stay away from, I'm sorry.
No, say what you just said again. Sodium is something we're supposed to.
So we're supposed to stay away from, but there's more and more evidence that staying away from sodium actually is dangerous.
Well, no, it's not. It's not. See, that's. I'm sorry, I have to blame my doctor friends on this. You know, the original word of doctor is teacher, and we have not taught people right on this. It is not avoiding sodium, it's avoiding sodium chloride. That's the issue. The sodium chloride is where we were getting way too much chloride, we were getting too much sodium that way. I mean, there is a limit to how much sodium you want, but the focus really was meant to be on salt. We still need, regardless of where you're getting, we need about 2 grams, maybe even more. Some people are now saying 2.4, 2.5 grams of sodium, not sodium chloride.
Especially if you sweat a lot.
Yeah, maybe even more then, right? I've, you know, looking in getting ready for the radio show, I was kind of just curious to see what some of the mineralogists out there were recommending for sodium, and some of them are calling for as much as 3.5 grams a day. But the problem is, where do most Americans, again, maybe I'm not talking about your listeners, where do most Americans get their sodium from?
Salt shaker.
Yeah, that's exactly, and that was the issue. So doctors, you know, a couple decades ago, the ultimate goal was to get rid of that, so much of that salt. We didn't mean for that sodium to be taken out so much. That causes a lot of problems. Sodium is a major, major mineral, and if you don't have enough of it, you're going to have some of those same problems you do with potassium. Heart dysrhythmias, nerve problems, fluid imbalances. Please, sodium is key. You want, I think, at least 2 grams a day.
So what about sea salt? Is that not sodium chloride? If I buy
it's
an unrefined...
Salt. No, sea salt is still salt, guys. It's still sodium chloride. Listen, the only difference between sea salt and the other types of salt formulations is some of the sea salt still has some more of the natural minerals that you'll find in the ocean in it. But it's still, I mean, I'm sorry, any sea salt you buy, Carl, look on the back. Guess what it says? It says sodium chloride.
So where should we get our sodium from? Just from the naturally occurring sodium in our meal and our foods, like tomatoes and tuna?
Yeah,
and so on?
Yeah. You know, your
cottage cheese has a lot of sodium in it.
Cottage cheese does. I like the dairy has sodium. But you know what? A lot of your fleshy fruits and vegetables have a lot of sodium in them.
Really?
That's a great way to get sodium. To, you know, try to shoot for that 2 grams a day. The problem is we got our sodium from the salt shaker, as you said. That's what we don't want. But your fleshy fruits and vegetables have a decent amount of sodium in them. It's a great, easy way to do it.
So just monitor the sodium that you're getting from your diet and make sure that you're getting above 2 grams a day and you should be
I think
to
2 grams. Some people are even promoting higher than that now. I'm not sure about that, but I say at least 2 grams, yeah.
All right. Do we need to talk about calcium and sodium any further, you think?
No, I just remember, too, there's a lot of debate about the different forms of calcium, at least if you are going to supplement. You know, like magnesium, we've worked it out pretty well, the different forms, where they go, magnesium 3 and 8, your brain, magnesium citrate, great for your bones. I just want people to know that that has not really been worked out well with calcium. And I just, you know, I know a lot of people promote calcium citrate, for instance. That's a great one to take if you're doing it by itself. The problem is you won't find calcium citrate in a bone formula because it's too big. And so if you don't take calcium citrate, I just want to mention 3 forms that I like. I like dicalcium malate is a really good form.
Okay.
Calcium glycinate, the bisglycinate forms. And then there's one form called fructoborate. Those 3 forms of calcium, if you can't do the citrate, if you're going to do a bone formula, those are the 3 forms you want to look for.
Okay, question. And then we'll take the next break. Obviously, blood levels of all of these minerals are virtually meaningless. What gets into the cell is what has meaning. Is there anything we can do to ensure that our cells are being deposited with these minerals and it's not just floating around our bloodstream?
First of all, we are coming out with, and I think you'll see this over the next few years, better assays for looking at minerals within red cells. Red cells pick up the minerals really well, and they're a good indication of how that process from blood to cell is occurring.
Okay.
For instance, there's the red blood cell magnesium, which has been around for a while, but that's going to open up into red blood cell calciums, potassium. I think you're going to see a whole new assay of red blood cell mineral techniques. But listen, if you really want to look at minerals, I think at this point it's still hair analysis.
Yeah, hair. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's, until we work out more with the red blood cell, I think that's where you need to go. And guess what? Hair analysis are becoming cheaper and cheaper.
I know.
Overall, it's really not that hard to do. We're going to probably offer hair analysis here at Life Extension pretty soon.
That would be great. And then I can hook you up with my barber. There you go. All right,
that's the way to do it, hair analysis.
There you go. Let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show talking about these new forms of lithium that are being pushed by lots of gurus on the internet for having profound effects on mood and memory. We're going to have Dr. Smith weigh in on that. Safe or Boulder Dash? We'll be right back. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw. The delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the AgeForce Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit AgeForce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AgeForce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better
tomorrow.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, this is an appropriate topic, actually, to cover today, Dr. Smith. I didn't realize it, but lithium has been around for quite a long time to treat the mania phase of bipolar disorder.
Right.
But more recently, that was lithium carbonate, if I'm correct.
That was the original form, correct, yes.
But more recently, there's been an over-the-counter form of lithium called orotate, which
yep.
is a salt of lithium and orotate. That is being, recommended to people for a variety of things, including improved memory, better mood, and so on and so forth. Now, lithium is a metal.
That's correct, yeah.
And metals accumulate in the body.
Yep.
Recommended doses are anywhere from 5 milligrams of elemental lithium in the orotate form to 15 milligrams of elemental lithium in the orotate form a day. What's your opinion of lithium orotate, and is it safe?
Listen, that's always a tough question because the original prescription form, the lithium carbonate, has a lot of good research behind it. It's a prescription drug. It's FDA approved for mania, the manic side of bipolarism.
Right.
Okay? Now, beyond that, though, and I'm just going to have to be honest with you, beyond that, there's not a lot of research looking into some of these other types of benefits that you hear, memory, mood, aggression, addictions, okay? And there's absolutely nothing with the lithium orotate form, okay?
Right.
So most of the research is with the carbonate form, and what you have are the supplement companies taking lithium orotate and using kind of like a class effect, saying, well, it's lithium, it's just a different vehicle for transporting it throughout the body, so it's going to have the same effect. So they claim kind of, you know, the same effects of lithium carbonate just based on the fact that it's still ultimately giving you this ion of lithium. Now, let me tell you, and I'm glad you brought this up, it is a metal. So I got to tell you, metals increase oxidative stress. They're going to build up in your system. So I believe that lithium should only be taken if you have a definite problem. It's not something that you're going to do like, I want to protect my memory. I want to make sure that I always have a good, stable mood. In those cases, I don't think that that's...
There's better ways to go about it.
Absolutely. But if you're dealing with something, I do like lithium orotate. If you're dealing with a brain trauma, and you've lost a lot of memory, maybe that's an appropriate time for lithium.
Or if for some reason you notice that you have periods of mania where you can't sleep and you call people 40 times in a day and they go, what the hell's wrong with you? And then you bottom out.
I agree. So I think in those cases, I think that there are appropriate cases, but I don't think it's going to ever be, and it never should be, in my opinion, an everyday type thing for the average person because it is a metal. It is a teratogen, by the way, meaning it has been shown to cause cancers in certain cell lines.
Really?
And that's what most metals do. Why? Because they create a lot of oxidative stress.
Right.
You know, and oxidative stress is an attack on DNA, and that's the beginning of cancer. Another thing that people need to watch out for with lithium and most metals, including silver, that's a big popular one out there.
Yeah, right, colloidal silver, everybody wants
listen,
that, right.
These things dehydrate you like crazy. And if you're doing a lot of other minerals and supplements and you're taking a lot of lithium or silver, you can dehydrate, cause a lot of kidney issues, and that can exacerbate some problems for you.
Right.
So if you're going to do lithium, it should be for a specific reason. And you should make sure you hydrate a lot because of those fluid imbalances that it can cause. You know, it's funny. When you said, Dr. Smith, this is kind of cool that we're talking about this today, I thought you were going to relate it back to the minerals.
I was, because what lithium does is it interferes with the sodium pump in
there
the brain.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. We never really understood. We always kind of had an idea of how lithium really worked. But now it's pretty clear that what it does is it opens up sodium channels. And by doing that, it potentiates action potentials on nerves and muscle. That's why we know, and it actually dampens a lot of that. That's why it works so well in addictions and aggressions and mania. Still not so sure how it works with the memory and stuff like that, but it's doing something to those sodium pumps and those sodium channels.
The other thing that's interesting about the orotate form is apparently it does not clear the kidneys as readily as the carbonate form, which means that lower doses can still build very, very high blood levels of lithium.
Listen, that might be so, Carl, but even on the positive side for lithium orotate, there's not a lot out there. On the negative side, there's not a lot out there because most of the research is done on the carbonate,
right?
And you have what you have are supplement companies who are basing products off the carbonate form, and they're making some claims. Be careful, you know, they're making some claims.
Right.
And that orotate form really, we've been watching this, by the way, for a while now. It keeps steadily every year. It becomes more and more popular. And as at Life Extension, we keep our eyes out on this stuff. But I'm telling you, we're still kind of backing off on it because it is a metal, and it really should only be for very specific issues. You know what? Latest findings, it actually is really good for dermatitis.
Really?
Yeah, lithium, because of its ability to control fluid balances, it kind of does dehydrate, but that helps to take down that stress-related type skin conditions you see in psoriasis and stuff like that. So there may be some research coming out on the carbonate.
Yeah, but I gotta believe there's a lot of better ways to manipulate fluid balances.
Well, I do too. Again, you're dealing with the metal. It looks like it also may increase white blood cells a little bit. Maybe there's an application there for people who have leukopenia, who are being treated with cancer. So I like lithium. I think it has some powerful effects, but it is a metal. And I just think as a supplement, I'm still not quite sure about that.
You know, I took what's the metal that's supposed to help in insulin transport? Vanadium.
Yes.
In 2009, I took 2 milligrams of vanadyl sulfate a day for about 2 months and then stopped. Because what I read was that once the body builds up its storage of vanadium, taking any more, there's a point of diminishing returns. It does not increase insulin sensitivity because it's a metal. It stores itself in you for long periods of time. And I think that people who find a benefit from lithium orotate probably only need to take it for a few weeks and then stop, because chances are once you build up that level, taking more is not going to increase the benefits. And if anything, it's going to push you over the edge to danger.
No, and that's true, and I think I can say that with confidence that's true, because they've already seen that in the studies with lithium carbonate.
See?
That you can cycle lithium, basically, in people that have type bipolarism. So I believe that completely.
I surprise myself sometimes how smart I am.
I know, I do too. I'm writing that down. Carl actually got one right. Let me write this down. No, but listen, I don't know. Maybe I got to be careful here because I don't want to. No, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I've studied this stuff. Listen, Carl, I'm not a big fan of metals.
Yeah, me neither am I.
I'm just not a big fan of metals. Do we need some metals a little bit? And yes, you need a little bit of copper. You need a little bit of you need some of this stuff. But listen, if you're using this stuff on a daily basis because you think lithium is the next thing that's going to preserve your brain for 200 years, I think, yeah, maybe it preserves your brain for 200 years, but you're going to kill your kidneys.
Yeah, there you
go. In the process. So I'm not a big fan of...
You'll be like that sci-fi movie where your brain is in a jar and Steve Martin is trying to figure out how to find a woman's body to put you in so he can make love to you. So,
but I got to tell you, some people really get hooked on some of this stuff. I have a friend of mine who is just a big proponent of any form of silver. I keep trying to tell him, you know, fine, you get a cold, take a little bit of silver, but stop taking that every day. And he yells at me. He gets mad at me. And I know how people, they get hooked on
it's
things.
It's like religion. You know what? Supplements are like religion. When you put your heart and soul into something and believing it, and somebody says, hey, you know what, the most recent, it's like, no, I don't care. It works for me.
Yeah, and so listen, I think lithium, all of these types of metals, but we're talking about lithium here, I think it has a place. It needs to be something specific, aggressions, addictions, mania. I think it needs to be watched. Listen, if you really need it, I'd rather you just do the prescription form because that's the form that's been studied. Your doctor's going to follow you. I'm just not sure about it as a supplement.
My opinion as a over-the-counter supplement, thumbs down. That's my opinion. I don't think it has any real value. I think that the jury is out on what the dangers are. It's a metal, and I don't think people are going to see the benefits of it unless you suffer from mania. And if you have suffered from mania, you have other issues you need to look into.
Well, and you need maybe the prescription form. Let's be honest. If you're at that stage, maybe you need that psychiatrist. You need that prescription form. You might as well go ahead and go with the form that's been studied.
There you go. All right, Dr. Smith. Thanks so much today.
Thank you.
As usual. When is your next webinar? By the way,
it's going to be February. I do it the third Wednesday of every month, but we're not doing it this month. So the third, whatever date that is, Carl, the third Wednesday of February.
And what is the topic?
February is the National Heart Month. So I'm going to be, I always use February as my latest and greatest in taking care of your heart.
Okay.
Webinar. So it's always my favorite topic. So
I will be there.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming on the show today, Dr. Smith.
All right. Take care, Carl.
Okay. And go to superhumanradio.com and look for the Life Extension banner ad. Get your free 6-month subscription to Life Extension magazine. It's a great magazine. Also, I want to thank Dr. Kayla T. Daniel, author of The Whole Soy Story. Go to Amazon.com. You can buy her book there or visit her new website. It's a very pink website, I assure you. She is now going by the name The Naughty Nutritionist. Go to naughtynutritionist.com. We'll see you tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio. Thanks for listening.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.